Right.
So, for example, the Bud Light NFT, you spend $50, you get this NFT, you can pick the winners of the NFL games. If you're right, you get prizes. Those prizes can be NFTs from other collectible platforms in it from NFL.
Hey, all, welcome to episode 12 of Crypto Slam Clubhouse. Today on the Clubhouse, we have Luke from Dapper Labs, community manager and extraordinaire of all things to do with Dapper Labs and all of the leagues and products that they have out there. Stay tuned for a very informative interview there. Look out for our upcoming drops, the news of the week, and lastly, that interview. Like and subscribe, follow us on YouTube, on Podbean, Spotify, Apple, and keep in touch with us there. Thank you.
All right, Crypto Slam Clubhouse fam, let's get into some upcoming drops. So what do you get when you mix media, mystery, and the metaverse? The answer is the Flowverse Mystery Pass. Flowverse is one of the leading media platforms dedicated to the Flow blockchain. The Flowverse Mystery Pass is a utility-focused membership pass that aims to scale the Flowverse from a Web 2 information provider into a Web 3 brand. Mystery Pass holders will gain access to a private community of Flow Maxis, exclusive content, allow list partnership benefits, and additional mystery utilities to be declared. According to Crypto.com, we anticipate a collection size of 1,111 passes for a mint price of $111 or available on October 24th, 2022. Next, La Liga and Dapper Labs have collaborated to create their own digital collectible platform. La Liga, Golazos, and they have recently announced that the platform will be launching a closed beta experience and drop on October 27th. The platform was designed to bring fans closer to the sport they love through digital video collectibles that they call moments. The closed beta will enable users to purchase, own, and sell La Liga Golazos moments, and make sure you secure your spot in the closed beta. And fans can do that by joining the waitlist at www.laligagolazos.com. Make sure you join our newsletter, NFTs on Deck, to stay updated on the hottest upcoming drops and releases in the NFT industry. And as always, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe.
The biggest concert event of the year is coming to the metaverse. That's right, Decentraland's Metaverse Festival is back, this year bringing an icon of rock with Ozzy Osbourne. The OzFest Festival will now take place online in Decentraland's Metaverse Festival, showcasing the future of the concert-going experience. This is a free-to-attend event where fans will be treated to performances by Ozzy Osbourne, Dylan Francis, Soulja Boy, and over 100 soon-to-be-announced artists who will all be coming at you live on November 10th through 13th. NFTs aren't just fun and games. Actually, they are. Bicycle Playing Cards have announced a new deck of playing cards featuring Bored Ape number 1227, so now you can get your Bored Ape fix when you're away from your PC. Additional releases of Bored Ape Yacht Club playing cards are expected in the future, showcasing just how mainstream NFTs are becoming as they're weaved into the fabric of everyday life. If you're a homeowner, you know just how draining the process of buying a new home can be. Well, NFTs maybe have a fix in mind for that. A real estate tech company called Roofstock sold a house this week via an NFT that was sold on OpenSea for $175,000. So what's the use case of this NFT? It's simple. The holder of the NFT owns the house through an LLC that's transferred on the purchase of the NFT. Let's see what the legal experts have to say about this one. But for now, we'll call this one a major win for the use case of NFTs. Controversial NFT project and brand Azuki continue to innovate with their NFT offerings. First with their debut of an NFT token standard, the ERC-721A, and now with a new payment token called the Azuki Physical Backed Token. The PBT is an open source token standard that connects ownership of physical items to their digital counterparts via an NFT that changes wallets when a special QR code is scanned. Whatever opinion you may have of Azuki, it's undeniable that they're helping to push the tech forward. Japanese gaming giant Konami isn't just dabbling in NFTs, they're ramping up for the long haul. Konami recently announced a wide array of job postings ranging from positions in system construction and service development to project managers and directors. The studio that brought you hits like Castlevania, Metal Gear Solid, Dance Dance Revolution, and Frogger is looking to build out a Web3 platform where players can trade their in-game digital items and accomplishments. The typical backlash from the gaming community has been almost non-existent with Konami's NFT offerings, so perhaps the gaming industry has rounded a corner with fans in the NFT space. It was another fun week in NFTs. Be sure to subscribe to the Crypto Slam Clubhouse podcast so we can keep you up to date with your weekly dose of the Web3 stories that matter the most.
Welcome to episode 12 of Crypto Slam Clubhouse. We're here with Luke. Luke, where are you from? Are you in England right now or something?
Yeah, I'm from England, currently back home in England. I normally live over in Mexico or just generally traveling, but I just came back home for some family time because, you know, like with COVID, I hadn't been back for 2.5 years. So good to come back for a few weeks and hassle my family for some stuff. And
is that a football t-shirt underneath there?
Yeah, this is actually a La Liga t-shirt because I was in Madrid the other week for a game there for the start of the season. Because Dapper Sports is launching a La Liga product, so I made sure I got some free swag out of it, you know. That was cool as well. My entire wardrobe is just swag from either NFT projects or Dapper projects now. Like, it's all I wear.
I gotta ask, okay, this is random, like kind of off topic, but it feels like half of our guests are from the UK, and I've noticed that in the NFT space, it's so many people I know that are from England. Why is that?
Yeah, that's really interesting as well, because I think that, like, I don't think it's that there's that many of us. I think it's just that British people are quite happy to be chatty and annoying. And also, Americans always like hearing us for some reason. They're like, oh, we like your accents. It doesn't matter what you say. Come on and chat. So I feel like it won't last forever. Sooner or later, people will stop listening to us. But for now, cash in, get on some podcasts.
Yeah, enjoy. You all have this celebrity status for us right now. So yeah, it's cool.
give it like 6 months and you'll hate the Brits, guarantee it.
Well, it's been a year and a half now and I'm still loving you guys. So keep it up.
That's cool though. That's cool.
It's like your job description is just to talk.
Yeah, very much. Where is Crypto Slam based as a company?
Kansas City, US.
Fair enough. But I mean, you guys are pretty international as well, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot. I don't think many of our teammates have actually met in person. I might meet Justin this week. In the next couple of days, he's coming to Toronto area and. I haven't met Randy, the founder yet, and his brother, but I plan to do that very soon. And Huda as well. Like I really want to meet Huda. He's just right across the border. So
yeah, definitely. I would guess though, like half of our team is from the other side of the world, right?
Yeah.
Like we have a lot from overseas. Yeah.
It's crazy. I think that's one of my favorite things about the Web3 space is that it's just so normal. Like all the businesses and startups and companies, there's no like, oh, you have to come to be in LA with the rest of the team. It's just really natural to be remote. And it's really exciting because I think it enables a lot more sharing of ideas and growth. Like when you look at the sort of cultural differences between, say, even like the US and England, even those countries have a lot of cultural differences. So when you're talking US and say like South Korea and the ideas you can have from having an engineer in South Korea and an engineer in the US, it's just like, I think you can really make some cool stuff, you know?
Agreed. Actually, this is funny too, but I went downtown. I live in Chicago or out in the burbs. And this weekend I went downtown for a concert and I had to go stop by my old office because it's been a year since I left there and started at Crypto Slam. And I had made this goal that I would never go back there to work. So it was a cool experience to get to go back there and not work, just to stop by and, you know, say hello real quick. But they would always harp on that, you know, we needed to be back in the office for collaboration, that mattered so much. And that was important to not lose that. And this has proven to me, and I think anybody else who is working in the space, that I think we collaborate better with the tools we have at home, not losing that commuting time and getting to work just face-to-face this way. It's better. It is.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny because there's that discussion now, right? Like post-pandemic, there's all these companies saying you got to come back to work in the office, but like no Web3 company is saying that. Like Dapper, for example, they're like, look, if you want to come and work in Vancouver, we've got headquarters here. Obviously, some of our team, you know, the office managers might have to be there by the nature of the jobs, but generally, like there's no ask for you to go there, which is really cool because it means, hey, it's an option, but if you work better at home, wherever you're most effective working, go there. You know, I think that's really cool.
Love it. But it's a special that. Space.
I spent my time
people.
In Mexico, so like, I'm a little bit biased. You know, I'll stay on the beach while I work. Why not? You know.
Which part of Mexico do you call home there?
A city called Guadalajara in Jalisco. It's right next to Tequila, which is why I went there.
Where's your tan, man?
Oh, bro, I don't stay in the sun. All my mates back home in the UK are like, why aren't you darker now? Like, you've been in Mexico for 5 years. I'm like, yeah, exactly. I stay out of the sun. Come on. When you live there, you get sick of it pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. I've lived in Florida, and it's like constant sun all the time. It can get annoying.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I just don't want to spend 5 hours a day stood in it, you know?
Yeah. AC, the AC costs over there, the air conditioning, cooling costs is quite high in those countries.
Yeah. Fortunately, Guadalajara is not too bad. It's 2 months a year that it's super hot. I was in Medellin for a little while as well. And that's like really nice because it's like the city of just constant spring. And you like, you don't need AC, but it's always sunny. And I think that's a bit nicer vibe for sure.
Hey Luke, so what's going on at Dapper Labs? Like, we collaborated on NFT Day. That was awesome. And we could probably go into that a little bit too. But you know, yeah, why don't we do that? Like, what was the concept behind NFT Day? And you know, from your guys' perspective, being one of the people that wanted to start that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I loved NFT Day, but I'm super biased because I worked really hard on it. But like, I just think when you look around at, you know, any business, any industry, there's always some way to come and celebrate. And a lot of the time, like, you know, there's International Pizza Day, there's International Puppy Day, right? And so we were having a pizza lunch on the team at Dapper. It wasn't the whole team. I was like 50 or so people from a certain sub team within Dapper. And I was there and we were like, hey, they were like, hey, by the way, if you order a pizza, you can get it, you know, we're going to pay for it, we're going to buy everyone a pizza. It's like a nice little morale boost, little lunch session together, you know, the sort of thing companies do. And I was like, wait, why? Do you do this every week and I've not been invited before? What's going on? They were like, no, it's because it's like National Pizza Day in Canada or whatever it was. And I was just like, I left the call and I couldn't get over the fact that we had, you know, 20, 30 minutes of just talking about what pizzas, basically, just as a topic of conversation. Now again, this is our lunchtime. This isn't a regular Dapper chat. This is a lunchtime session. Normally people just go have their lunch on their own. Instead we were just chatting about pizzas, and I thought, like,
wait, hang on, how do you have lunch over Zoom and stuff?
Yeah, it was like it was literally just a Zoom call, and people had their pizzas turning up. They'd already ordered it. I had to like order it last minute on Uber Eats, so I wasn't prepared. And they were like, yeah, you can, you know, $10-$15 a pizza, we'll pay for it, right? It's just, you know, really nice thing. And we're just eating pizza and people are like, yo, the best is, I don't know, they were naming American Canadian brands and I was getting my Mexican pizza they never heard of. But then there's like fun, natural conversation happening around it. And I was sat there like, this feels like this is what we need for NFTs, right? Like a day where people are somehow talking about NFTs when, like, I would never talk about pizza as a topic of conversation. I realize I am now, ironically enough, but like you never normally would, but this day gives you an excuse to do it. And that was back in sort of May time. So I thought, you know what, like, what if we did International NFT Day? And I kind of went away and spent a month or two thinking about how it might look, what it might work like. And then I had to think, what day would it be? And you guys know this, and a lot of the viewers hopefully know this as well. We picked the 20th of September because that was the day the term NFT was first used in the paper that was published that talked about the ERC 721 protocol. So it was both the sort of invention for the standard of NFTs, or what would become the main standard, and also the use of the term NFT for the first ever time. So it was kind of like, that's a double whammy, let's make that NFT day. And then I had like a month or two to then convince the Dapper team we should do it. And because I didn't want us just to do it and we say that's NFT day, I wanted us to do a decent amount of sort of marketing and promotion and spending around it. Sorry, one sec. Sorry about that, life of parents. So yeah, so then We picked the 20th of September. Well, I picked, I say, and then I was like, guys, this is what I think. Dapper team were kind of like a little bit on the fence. So like, you want us to spend a bunch of money promoting a day, not promoting us, not promoting our products, just promoting NFTs. And I was like, yeah. And you know, once people kind of saw the vision, they got more excited, and we started reaching out to people like yourselves. We reached out to Coinbase and OpenSea and Immutable and all these like big names to be like, we're doing this thing, what do you think? And everyone had the same reaction of like a paused, wait, actually, this is kind of really cool.
Yeah.
Just everyone celebrating NFTs, why not? And I think once you start like having those conversations like this and over a call and not just a email subject title, everyone got on board and everyone was like, yeah, why don't we just celebrate NFTs, get some mainstream awareness through, you know, press releases and Twitter hashtag trending, have some drops, have some fun things happening, giveaways, whatever it is. And then the hope is that there's some people around the world that will talk about NFTs for the first time ever. Right. And we also hosted, well, we didn't host, we sponsored about 20 to 30 different events around the world, where we literally just said to people, we're going to give you like $1,000 just to host an event about NFTs. And all these people were like, oh, so we need to talk about Flow NFTs? We need to talk about Dapper NFTs? We're like, no. You don't have to talk about anything that like about us. You just talk about NFTs. All we're doing is we're going to give you money. You bring people to the event. We'll even give you some merch, stuff like this. And all you have to do is talk about NFTs, which again, I think is like a really fun concept that feels very Web3 to be like, you don't have to promote us. Hey, if you want to shout us out, that's great. We can help you with some resources if you want to talk about NFTs, but look at all these other people we're working with. Look at what they're doing as well. And I think that from a Dapper point of view, you know, we were one of the early, we built the first game on the blockchain. I say we, like I was part of the team then, but we, you know, Dapper did build the first game on the blockchain. And I think, and we also were pivotal in the sort of early success of NFTs. You know, NBA Top Shot drove hundreds of thousands of people to the NFT space. And I think for us, this is just another sort of step in that direction we're taking of trying to bring 1 billion people to the blockchain,
right,
by creating a day that isn't about Dapper. It's not about Flow. It's not about anything we're doing. It's about everything that we're all doing. People like yourselves, people like other businesses, you know? So that's kind of the summary. I know it was a bit of a long summary, but that's kind of the summary of NFT Day.
It's a great idea. It's a big thought, man, as far as what you can do with it. You basically are bringing like the NFT NYC vibe to everybody all at once, including with those IRL events, which, would you say, 25, 30 IRL events that were happening around the world? Huge. I could picture that growing even bigger next year, too. It's an awesome idea.
Huda, you kind of touched on something there, but wouldn't it be cool, like on the next NFT day, there would be satellite events distributed across the world? That'd be cool, huh?
Oh, that'd be sweet. Yeah. But I think that there was a version of that, right?
Yes. What we did was we sort of put up, we had the NFT Day website, internationalnftday.org, and you could apply to host an event in your local city. Right. But then we also reached out to some people we sort of knew, you know, like, and when I say new, it's not like people we work with or anything like that. I was like, hey, I know a guy in Philippines. He's collected some like NFTs. I think we own a few NFTs of the same collection. I don't really remember how I met him, but let me hit him up and see if he wants to host an event. You know, we asked some friends in Australia, we asked people in, we had like 20 events happen, or maybe it was 10, I can't remember, but in India alone, massive country, massive population, about a dozen plus cities around India hosted events because we found someone who organizes events across the country. And they were like, I love this idea. I collect NFTs. We can leverage my network and we can do it. And so stuff like that. And so you had, and like some of the photos we got was like lecture halls filled with people for NFT Day, and they were explaining what NFTs are. And it was so cool because you saw a really diverse range of people at these events. It wasn't just your typical NFT collector, degen, you know, that you've never seen sunlight like myself or something like that. It was like just a range of people at these events learning about NFTs from real collectors with no sort of agenda, no sales pitch, nothing like that. Just talking NFTs, which I think is what kind of brought all of us into space a year or two ago or whenever you joined. And now to kind of have a resurgence of that is kind of cool to see, you know?
Yeah. Well, did your management, were they happy with the results of the campaign? Do you think we'll do this again? I think, you know, definitely we're interested.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the vision, I think, is that NFT Day should be a decentralized, obviously it's Web3, sort of idea and concept. And so, you know, we built it, we did it, and we definitely will support it again in the future, but we want it to be something where the space can celebrate it. So that if, for whatever reason, let's say Immutable X, great partners, we work closely with them. Same with OpenSea, both OpenSea and Immutable X. I can't shout out their team enough. It was incredible chatting to them. And they were like, we're going to drop stuff on the day. We're going to do big things on the day just to celebrate it. And so if they said to us, hey, we're going to do NFT Day next year, but we're going to do our own thing, that's still fine. Like if they don't want to chat to us about it, I still support that because that's what it should be about. Like anyone should come in and leverage it. And so I'm sort of hoping that in 6 months' time across the Web3 space, everyone's got that date in their calendar, 20th September, 2023. What are we going to do for it? And they know they can come to us at Dapper Labs and we can help. We can talk out ideas, but they don't have to. It's up to them, you know?
I love that.
Sorry, go ahead, Justin.
No, I was just going to say, I love that. And that sounds so authentic to Web3. Yeah. You know, you have a brainchild, an idea that has legs and can one day, and I think it will live on its own. You know, you have all these different Web3 entities that are just excited to participate and talk NFTs. And so it's interesting that you mentioned the idea too was to not only celebrate NFTs with International NFT Day, but also to onboard more users and onboard more people into NFTs as well. What was the intention behind that effort, and how did you all go about, I guess, onboarding more people into the space?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we did a few things, right? And again, this was where it got a little bit difficult because it's like it's hard to onboard people in a truly decentralized way. So we were kind of like, you know, we've told competitors, if I can call them that. I don't see Immutable X and OpenSea's competitors, especially after working with them. I see them as collaborators. But let's say people that you would think, okay, well, they're doing a different product to what Dapper is, right? So like that's that we told them about it and we said, we're going to be trying to drive people to learn about NFTs. We encourage you to do the same. And so, for example, OpenSea actually launched their learning center on that day. I mean, they had kind of some resources out there already and they'd already built it, but they said on that day, we'll celebrate it. I think they did an email around that time, that sort of thing. So that was one example, like OpenSea Learning Center. Coinbase did a similar thing. They dropped some learning resources. I believe both of those should be linked on the internationalnftday.org website. So we built and hosted and had a team build this website and the assets. And then we said, hey, you've got resources for people to learn about NFTs. We'll put them on that website. So the idea is that, and we want to do a lot more work over the coming months, but the idea is that that website, internationalnftday.org, I don't want to plug in it so hard, but you know, there it is that you could go there, not know anything about NFTs and learn how to make an NFT, how to buy an NFT, how to collect an NFT, what an NFT is, etc. Not just on the website, but through resources from these parties that were involved. You know, someone like CryptoSlam, for example, is a great resource. And if you go to International NFT Day, you will see that CryptoSlam shout out on the sort of, you know, our partners at the bottom. And so long term, hopefully we can expand that out even further as a centerpiece for resources. On the day itself, not only did we do that, we also did, like, you could claim a POAP, a float, a POAP on Flow. And the idea was it's just a free NFT to commemorate the day that you could literally know nothing about NFTs, walk in, put your email in, boom, you've got an NFT, which is kind of cool. And the idea is that you could go from, like, I don't know what Web3 even means to, oh shit, I've got an NFT. Yeah. Like that's a cool sort of experience to have for free, no gas, none of that. And so that was kind of a fun thing to do. And then also, like I said, the IRL events, we said, hey, if you want, you can send them, you can use this like QR code, people can scan it and claim this NFT as well. So the idea was to try and put NFTs directly in people's hands that might have just learned about NFTs properly for the first time. So stuff like that. And then also we worked with some of the partner connections we have in the Web2 media and the press to kind of lean on the Dapper network of connections that we built up to be like, we just want to tell people about NFTs. Could you write an article about NFT Day or NFTs in general? We're not going to tell you what to write. We want to see content about NFTs. And we got something like 500 plus articles, something like that, some crazy number written about NFTs, either about NFT Day or just about what drops were happening or the way people were celebrating it or just NFTs in general. So hopefully we will see an uptick because of that. But it's obviously really hard to quantify and measure. But if we keep doing that each year, I'm hoping that we can say, you know, every sort of October, end of September time, we see a few more people learn about NFTs. You know, that's kind of the long-term goal.
Do you guys think like the term NFT is going away at all or has been tainted? Are we going to move to something like digital collectibles? What do you guys think?
I think so. I couldn't tell you exactly why, other than I don't know. And if the word or the term NFT has started to, well, it's changed because they're not as cool as they used to be just a few months ago. And it's things like that, that I think over time there's going to need to be another angle to market it, to make it seem like it is something different or new. It to me just makes sense. And I've thought that really forever. But I think when it's mainstream, it's, you might just hear that this is backed by the blockchain or something like that instead of that term NFT. Just my thought.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I think it's some validity, like, to sort of both sides. I kind of hope and expect that what we'll see is that NFT, like, we need to get more specific, right? Because if I say NFT, it could be a PFP, it could be a POAP, it could be, you know, some super rare collectible, it could be an art piece, one of one. And like, we kind of all know that as a collective. But when you try and tell people that, oh, NFTs, it's like, yo, what? You mean that monkey picture? What? No, I mean that your ticket you just bought at this concert is an NFT.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, so it has like value? And I'm like, no, it's just a commemorative experience as an NFT, right? And so I think all of us have been in space for a while, we realize that it can vary like that. But I think to your points is that we need to kind of say, this is a digital collectible NFT. This is a proof of attendance NFT. This is a, you know, avatar NFT, whatever it is, to then help people. I don't think you necessarily need to lose the term. I think we just need to expand and sort of dissect that the term can be used in different ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's weird how we brand these things over time. Like, I mean, there's no MP3 day, right, anymore, or there's no VHS day. I don't know if you attended a VHS there, that would be closer to my age.
Yeah, but no, I never even heard of that, so...
Maybe that's why, though, because they didn't have a day. Maybe that's what it is. No, it's a VHS day.
But beta needed a day that, you know, to take on VHS. Well, so.
You know what? We didn't have the internet back then to connect us and to actually pull something like that off. So that's why.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. Like, if you talk like social media, for example, I think there's definitely a bit of, some people would have like negative connotations around the word social media, but like, again, you realize that social media can be Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and they each have their own thing that they do effectively, right? So like, I think social media kind of went through that as well, where it was like a bit of a dirty word for a while, and now everyone's a bit more relaxed about it. I think NFTs will probably do a similar thing as we get more established sort of pillars within the NFT space.
Justin, what have you, NFTs have you bought recently?
Oh man, so I've mainly been doing ENS. Also did buy a Chimpers recently, so I'm happy to be a chimp. But aside from that, I haven't been doing a whole lot. I've been doing more research into the art space, mainly inspired by Huda there. Just been looking at art and just getting my feet wet to understand what like the history behind generative art. But yeah, that's kind of all I've been doing, is mostly ENS and then finding different plays.
ENS is super hot. What about you, Luke?
I've not really bought an NFT in a while. I don't know how you guys have time. I know you guys are super busy. It's so happy to both like be in the NFT space and buy NFTs. And also like, I had some like bank issues for like the summer, so I just couldn't access money, which was stressful. But I've been watching, I like this like the NFL Bud Light NFT that we did, like we kind of did adjacent from that, but I wasn't involved in the team. But it's exciting because it's like a pick'em game. So you pick who's gonna win. And if you get the biggest like combination, you can like win prizes, and the top prize is like tickets to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I'm not even a massive NFL fan, and I'm like, yo, I want to do that. That's fun, because again, it's that like clear utility case of an NFT beyond just you can have a cool PFP, but it's a clear like you could win real prizes, you know?
Is that one sort of like fantasy football? Like you build yourself a lineup with those, I think they're beer cans with like a team logo on them. Am I thinking of the right project?
Yeah, exactly. It's super beer cool. Cans. And they're like, I don't want to dismiss
it. $50.
Yeah, I was going to say like $50 is a lot of money to some people. But like, I was like, oh, I want to get a few. I'm waiting to hear if I can or not. Like the minute it's still open, because it's Dapp was involved somehow, I got to wait to hear if I can buy them. And if I can, probably get a few of them, just because like, I like the idea of potentially winning, you know, tickets to Super Bowl because of an NFT. I just think that's cool.
Yeah, definitely. Luke, real quick, I met you over a year ago, I think, at this point, and you were the community manager of NBA Top Shot. What's your official title now? I'm just curious, because you do a lot, and I know it, like across blockchains even. So, curious your title, what it is you do with Dapper Labs, and just kind of anything that you work on.
So I'm still community manager, title's still the same, technically now on the Flow team rather than NBA Top Shot. I think you guys are probably super aware of this, but just for anyone listening who's not, the way that Dapper Labs works is we have kind of like these separate branches at Dapper. So we have like the Dapper Sports Studio, which is like NBA Top Shot, UFC Strike, La Liga Gonzalez, NFL All Day. I can't believe I almost forgot that one, you know? And that's like the Dapper Sports Studio. Then we have, you know, the Dapper Wallet, which literally that team is focused on the wallet side of things. And then we have things like Dapper Collectives, Athlete Studio, this kind of other bunch. And then separate to all of them, we have the Flow blockchain, right? And they literally operate as separate business units under the Dapper Labs umbrella, especially Flow, because it is a decentralized blockchain. So there's people on the Flow team that don't know, like people on the Top Shot team who the community know very well, just because they are completely separate. So I've now moved to the Flow team, but I'm trying to help use the knowledge I got from Dapper Sports to sort of bridge some gaps where gaps need to be bridged, and also help, you know, the learnings of running a community the size of NBA Top Shot can help for something like running the Flow community. So I do kind of sort of jump around there at Dapper. And then I also have my own project, Pyland, which is a fun little project that's quite creative, story-driven NFT. Won't shield myself too much, but we did a big announcement today about like kind of a boss battle game element that's really fun. You can find that on our Twitter. And then also I do general sort of consulting work, you know, if somebody's dropping a project, I'll often chat. Like if someone messages me, you know, you guys know how it is, there's a lot of scam messages out there, but if someone messages me because they've got a mutual friend, or like if you guys like, yo, this guy's dropping a project, he wanted to chat to you, I always take the call. I'm not going to charge to chat to someone for 30 minutes about it, and kind of if they've got some questions, give some insight, stuff like that. And then if the project is like interesting or exciting and they're looking for like a consultant or someone to help community market and stuff, I might take that as well. But that always varies, you know. And I think I'm more looking for projects that get me excited or that I think would be really fun to work on than I am just to get like a paycheck and a job, you know?
Yeah. You're doing so many cool things. Are you still with Hero too? I think that's the way you say it, right?
Yeah. So I'm not like working. So I basically, for anyone not aware, Hero doing this really cool sort of card, digital card collectible with a sort of real life counterpart for Warner Brothers characters, you know. So like, I was about to try and listen. I don't know my comics that well, but for like Batman and stuff like that, right? It's very fun. It's very fun. And I helped them set up the Discord under the First Mint. So the First Mint, you guys are probably familiar with. They're like a sort of web free news group organization. They also do like consulting and help companies get to market and stuff like that. I'm good friends with the team. They're like, we're helping Hero. Do you want to come and help do some Discord stuff? And so I did that for a few weeks. And then, you know, I don't work on that anymore technically, but they know they can ask me questions if they have an issue with, if I hear about a scam going around Discord, I'll let their team know, stuff like that. So I have a relationship. I don't work on them and only ever worked under the First Mint at them, if that makes sense.
Yep, sure does. Yeah, I love those cards though. The whole experience of getting to like unwrap a pack. I did it with my kids. We cracked them open. We looked at all the cards. The kids kept the physicals. I kept the NFTs, and I just couldn't wait for that to be all over the blockchain, like across projects. Any thoughts on, you know, the Dapper Lab side of doing that with NBA Top Shot and NFL All Day, UFC Strike, like any of those awesome things?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, obviously, so for context, the way it works is you would rip it on Hero, you would rip open a pack and then you like turn it over, scan the QR code, claim an NFT, which is really cool. Like, I think that is really cool. I don't think we would necessarily do that same model at Dapper Sports, just because, you know, we've already kind of rolled out so many collectible products purely online that it wouldn't make sense to go a different direction. But one of the cool things is that we are sort of expanding our product range. So for example, we've just done the La Liga product, which is now in like the wait list to sign up for the closed beta launching at the end of the month. So you can see how maybe another product in the future for another sport, we might explore something like that. But I think it's kind of, it's fun to see. And I do think Hero did a really good job, but I think there's still like a missing element that hasn't been cracked, because like you said, I kind of, when they announced that, I thought we're going to see this just blow up all over the blockchain, but it hasn't. And I'm like, well, what's the next key? And I think that's the sort of thing that we'll be looking at for Dapper, is like how to bring the digital with the physical in a way that does just take off and everyone understands. I mean, you know, TBD, I think like things like Infinite Objects are a good example of that, where you see your NFT sort of displayed in a framework, right? I'm sure you guys have seen them. And again, though, like how do you bring that in to buying a physical thing in the first place? So I think TBD, definitely not off the table for what Dapper will explore, but I don't think it'll be in the same way Hero did it, just because, you know, you got to keep innovating, you got to keep mixing things up.
Yeah. How about the like IRL like events that are tied to your NFT, kind of like those all-star NFTs you did team specific for NBA Top Shot? Those were incredible, and they were rather expensive because you got a lot from them. How did people receive that, and how did you all, what did you all get from that?
Yeah, so that was, so what we did was, this must have been back in March time. Yeah. It's hard for me, you know how it is in the time crypto space. Yeah, it just all merges. But yeah, so we did the special team NFT that was only 31 of them, 30 for sale, and one was just raffled away. And the idea was you would have to bid on it, and winning it would grant you, like you said, a bunch of perks, the primary perk being access to the all-star game every year for the next 5 years, as well as like tickets to all these different events and stuff like that. So really cool. And it's kind of like a clear, you buy this NFT, you get this utility, as well as the ability to trade it on a secondary marketplace and stuff like that. And I think it was a really fun, you know, experiment, but in terms of the experiment aspects, is learning a lot, specifically that people are willing to pay and they want to pay for those IRL experiences. And I think you can kind of see that since then, Top Shot has also done more for the IRL experiences on its core product itself, right? On the moments itself, you know, the tip off is starting for the NBA season, and we're having 700 plus people sent to different games across the country and Canada for the NBA. And that's happening through our community as well. Like, we didn't pick them. We actually have this team captains program where basically every team in the NBA, there's a couple of people, community members, who run like a super fan group, right? And you have to own NFTs to access a super fan group. And in doing so, you'll get access to a range of perks and utility driven by the captains themselves. We give them money each month. It's about $10,000. Every month, and they can then do whatever they want with that in theory, right? So a lot of them were like, we're going to buy tickets, send people to the games. A couple of them were like,
wait, hang on, this is live?
Yeah, this is live. This is a thing. So
this is cool.
If you owned like a team set of the Lakers moments, so, which I think cost like a couple hundred dollars, you can then join a Discord, join the Team Lakers channel, and you could then start interacting with like giveaways of moments, giveaways of credit, of crypto, right? But not only that, you might be able to play in a poker night that the community run and organize. And if you come like top two positions, they might send you to a game. And I'm just like, these are examples of things that have happened. There's like a range of stuff. Some of them are partnered directly with the teams themselves, which is something that like we obviously do, but when you're a small, nimble couple of people on a, in a community, it's a bit easier to pull off than when you're an entire business unit organization, right? And some of them, I think it's like the Kings one, for example, they're allowed to get access to a suite at the game at like a heavily discounted price. And so they're not just sending collectors to games, they're sending collectors to the best seats in the stadium to the games. You know, one of the groups is even flying international collectors. You know, hey, you're in the Philippines, but you're a massive fan of, I don't know, the Magics. All right, Orlando Magics, we're gonna fly you in if you win this, if you play this tournament, if you enter this trivia contest, or it's just a random giveaway, you know. So we're seeing all these forms of utility across the NBA Top Shot community, and just go back to the original point, that is clearly driving that IRL events and activations that we saw was so popular back in February and March.
This is awesome to hear that, you know, something when I got into NFTs, I was excited to collect a thing that got me access, got me IRL perks or something, and that you guys are doing that now. It's actually happening is wild to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like today with tip off happening for NBA, it's I don't know if it's today or like what day all the events are happening, but there's going to be events across the US and Canada, like meetups at pubs and restaurants and games and whatever it is this week happening to celebrate NBA fandom that we are paying for through the Team Captains program. Like the community are running and hosting them on our dime, so to speak. But that level of scaling, you couldn't do. A Web2 business would spend years trying to build to be able to scale to that level. But in Web3, because we can empower the collectors directly and the community directly, we can scale at a rate you just don't see. And that's why I get really excited, because if you've got an NBA team local to your city or in your state that you can visit, you can go there, you can find this group of super fans who are also collectors, and you can hang out with them, and you can get like go and play golf at Top Golf for free, or you can go out for dinner for free, or get some drinks, whatever it is you want to do, or whatever events they're hosting, which is, I just think, blows my mind every time I think about it, you know?
Yeah. Are you guys like planning this with your other franchises as well? I wouldn't see why not, I guess, if the economics work, right?
Yeah, I think it's we're in a really fortunate position where we can run this via NBA Top Shot. And even though it's a separate team to, say, the NFL All Day product and UFC Strike product, those teams can still share notes and info and resources. And you can be like, what did work and what didn't work? We want to implement similar or not. So the UFC Strike have done Champions Club, where if you own a Champions Moment, which is their rarest tier of moment on the marketplace at the moment anyway, that is like gets you access to kind of an exclusive group. If you're familiar with Nine Lives Lounge and Top Shot, it's a similar thing, access to an exclusive group. And you can, like, they've sent people to games to go and watch a UFC fight, but also you have like a private lounge where the fighters will come in and say hi before they go into the ring and stuff like that. So we're definitely seeing expand. I don't know, you know, if NFL All Day will roll out the same teams program or if they'll do it at all, but they're definitely looking, taking notes and seeing what would and wouldn't work. And I think, you know, you guys obviously heard of Mr. Beast, right? Mr. Beast, massive creator on YouTube, biggest creator at the moment on YouTube. And he talks a lot about what drove his success was that him and two of his friends, they just spent hours building YouTube videos like 10 years ago, just recording it on their phone, just trying and trying and trying. It will make sense when I'm bringing this up in a second, right? And he said what would happen is they would make mistakes, videos wouldn't work, they would fail. But rather than one person failing on their own for a year and making 50 mistakes and learning from every single mistake, they had three of them, each making 50 mistakes, and suddenly you're able to learn from 150 different mistakes, right? And so Mr. Beast has talked about it. You got to go and see him say it. It's much better than me wording it. But it's the same concept you're now seeing in the Dapper Sports ecosystem, where we can learn at a much quicker rate because we're not just, it's not just NBA Top Shot. It's NBA Top Shot, NFL All Day, UFC Strike, La Liga, and more to come. And all those products are able to share sort of top level resources between each other and say, hey, this is what worked for us, this is what didn't work for us. Up to you what you do with that info, right? And I think that's really exciting to me. And, you know, I'm using Mr. Beast's example because he talks about how he did that 5 years ago and look at his success now. We're doing that first part now. You can imagine what it looks like in 5 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, that is awesome. And I love that you're bringing all that utility right now. But I want to touch on, I want a little bit of inside information if you can provide for the La Liga Gonzalez product. What can people expect? What can fans, what can the League of Fans expect from the closed beta?
Yeah, I love this because if I was to say, I want you guys to ask me one question, that would have been the question. So Justin, you're my favorite. I don't know if you're like reading my mind on that because it's happening right now. So we have the wait list is available right now. You can find, you know, La Liga Gonzalez, or you could just message me if you're watching this and I'll get you the link, because the first drop is coming the 27th of October. So you can sign up for the wait list. We obviously only have a limited number of spots for this first drop, but we'll be opening it up for each drop to come. I don't know if it'll be every drop, but as time goes on, it will open up more and more. The first drop is all about like rivalries. And so it's some of the biggest rivalries in the La Liga history, some incredible names. You know, I don't have the full list in front of me, but you know, people like Messi, Ronaldo, big names like that will be in the drop, some incredible moments. And they are focusing on sort of the more scarce moments in this first drop, is my understanding. And so again, that's the 27th. The way the waitlist works is you sign up and you have a chance to get randomly chosen to join the closed beta at some point. But the first wave will be majority made up of people that have been sort of loyal to the Dapper ecosystem and loyal to the La Liga product in some form. People like from the NLL, from the VIP groups, stuff like that. So, you know, if you're a top shot, if you're a fan of Dapper Sports, you've got to get in the NLL because you get access to things like La Liga. And then what will happen is, I believe there's also going to be some spot. This is probably a bit of alpha. I don't know when this will go out. I might be breaking the news before the community hears. So La Liga team, just don't listen to this. But I believe they're going to give some spots away in the La Liga Gonzalez Discord as well, through like some sort of pick 'em games for the football and for the soccer. So, you know, you can go show off that you're a big La Liga fan, then get access to the closed beta to take part in the very limited drop on the 27th of October. And then, you know, that's kind of a nice sort of circle experience for users. In terms of the product itself, I'm super excited for it because, again, they're able to look at three other sports products built in the Dapper ecosystem and take learnings from that. I think that the way it will work is the drop will happen 27th of October. There'll probably be a marketplace launching very soon after, and then another drop sometime, I assume, in November. I don't have those details to hand, but I think we'll see a similar sort of level of excitement and buzz we've seen when NFL and UFC Strike both launched their sort of early access betas. And I'm really excited because I'm a much bigger football fan than I am American sports. And I think it's also exciting because, and we can probably, I don't know how much you want to get into this, but like, there's not much NFT exposure in Europe outside of maybe the UK. Right. There's not many sports leagues in Europe that are really building stuff outside of the UK. So I think bringing an NFT collectible to the Spanish market and beyond is quite exciting.
Yeah, I'm interested into seeing if you guys do anything with the NFL franchise. Like, I mean, I'm a big US football fan, so looking to see that, but definitely.
Yeah, I think that NFL Day is exciting, and NFL is in a really interesting spot because we have the NFL Day collectibles on Flow, which are video highlights. We have NFT Bud Light, the NFL Bud Light NFT, which is built on Flow. And that's, you know, with Bud Light, obviously a big sponsor and advertiser for the NFL. And then Ticketmaster are also doing ticket NFTs for the NFL. And so what you have there is three separate pillars of fandom. It's tickets, it's sponsorship, it's video highlights, all built on the Flow blockchain, all providing, you know, utility and collectibles for NFL fans. And you start really being able to tap into the network effects that happen. You guys, obviously, you know the blockchain space, you're very familiar with network effects, but the concept being that they're all able to take part and take advantage of the blockchain technology that they're now all sharing. Right. So for example, the Bud Light NFT, you spend $50, you get this NFT, you can pick the winners of the NFL games. If you're right, you get prizes. Those prizes can be NFTs from other collectible platforms in it from NFL. So that's kind of crazy that I could spend $50 and win an NFL all day moment, which is a highlight of my favorite player, for example, maybe stuff like that cross-platform utility happening now on the Flow blockchain is really exciting. And it's still really early, right? That's all kind of happened in the last few months. What does that look like this time next year? How many platforms and businesses are going to want to build to appeal to NFL fans via the blockchain that they're all built on, you know?
Luke Huda, do you guys remember those Ticketmaster NFTs that were released on Polygon, I think a year ago?
Yeah, the NFL, like the commemorative tickets, right?
Yeah, the first ever.
Those are awesome.
Are those on Flow now, or what's going on there?
Yeah, I've got to be careful how I word this. I'm Ticketmaster calling me up when they see this. Like, what did you say? No, they're a very cool partner. I shouldn't say that, to be fair. So they did it on Polygon originally, and then this Super Bowl this year, they announced a ticket that was on Flow. And then around, I think it was 2 months ago, maybe a month ago, they announced that this season, the tickets are going to be on Flow. So they didn't move the old tickets to, they're still on Polygon, okay, is my understanding, but they have now this season built it on Flow. Part of the reason is because Flow is very scalable. You can mint a million NFTs on Flow in a couple of minutes, which is really cool. It's a cameo for my dad there. You can mint a million NFTs in a couple of minutes. And obviously on Polygon, I think it's a bit slower. And then also Flow is like very low carbon impact. And when you're working with a business like Ticketmaster or NFL, they're extremely conscious of, you know, making sure they're not causing unnecessary damage to the climate. And if you can pick a NFT for your POAP for your ticket that is significantly less climate impact, you're probably going to, you know. I'm not saying, I know Polygon's also quite low on the climate impact as well, because it's obviously like, you know, the way they've done it. But I'm just saying that Flow is incredibly efficient for it. And so it's really exciting. It's completely on-chain Ticketmaster NFTs. So the way it works, and you guys, obviously, if you saw the Polygon one, it's very similar. You buy your ticket like normal, you get an email, you go to the game, you scan it. And when you sort of enter the arena and you scan your code in the email, you'll get an email saying, do you want to claim your ticket as an NFT in your wallet? And then there you go. And I think it's been pretty successful so far. They're rolling it out at like over 100 games this season. There's a list on the Ticketmaster website of like every game. So if you're an NFL fan, you can see if they're doing it for a game near you. And if you want to go, you can go and get this cool NFT.
Luke, you've been like an espresso shot of information for all things sports right now. And I love it. And, you know, a lot of our sports audience on Crypto Slam is probably going to love it too. So I definitely want to have you on again. Like, this is such a great update from everything that you guys are doing over at Flow and Dapper. Huda, Justin, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask?
Yeah, there's one I have to sneak in here. Definitely got the right guy to ask it to. So probably twice in the past 2 years, I've put out a poll just on Twitter asking, what is the first NFT project? And since you mentioned, you know, NFT day and that being on, you know, kind of the date where the 721, the ERC 721, you know, came into existence, I got to ask you this question. Was the first NFT project CryptoPunks? Was it ENS? Was it CryptoKitties? Was it something else? I have to know.
Bro, this is like the question that gets me in so much trouble. You know what I mean? Because I went, so on the NFT day, I was like, a really cool concept I wanted to bring to life was like a timeline of what's happened in the space. Because you guys know how it is. Like, it's crazy to think that CryptoPunks and CryptoKitties were like 5 years ago, like 2017. Like, it's just like, that blows my mind, because for a couple of years, there wasn't much traction in NFTs outside of a small group. So like, I was like, let's do a timeline. And there's other timelines out there as well. And I was like, well, I know a little bit. And obviously you can look up the blockchain to see when like CryptoPunks was first minted. So, but like, let's see other resources. Within an hour, I had like 10 different timeline calendar blogs of whatever for NFT history. And every single one was a different story. Yep. And I was like, yo, what? I don't understand. And it's because there's all these technicalities to it, right? Like, there was these coins that were minted on like Namecoin back in, I think like 2014, 2013, mm-hmm. People argue they're not real NFTs. In fact, ERC 721 as a protocol, when that paper was published, it literally highlighted the reason for that protocol to be published was because they weren't really non-fungible tokens, right? They were kind of just tokens, but they weren't NFTs. I'm not a technical guy. If you are interested, you can find that article on GitHub and read it for more context. But I think from my point of view, I think that it's, there was the Ethereum, the sort of mm-hmm. first metaverse right. world. You guys are familiar with that? I think that was one of the earliest ones. I think, if you go to the NFT Day website, it's listed. I can't remember off the top. I think I would class that as one of the earliest, and then probably CryptoPunks, and then CryptoKitties is my understanding. But I'm definitely, someone's going to clip this at Dapper probably and send me and be like, no, you're wrong for these reasons. I'm going to regret saying it. But like, you know, I feel that people want to claim to be an OG NFT project, and that's cool. I get the reason for it, but I'm more interested to highlight like how much has happened in the 5 years since then, rather than which one was like first by a month or two. I think it's almost a bit it's not that important. It's what's important is who's still about now, which is why I think CryptoPunks, for example, is an amazing example, because not only were they around 5 years ago, but their community is still really strong. You know, and I think that mm-hmm. to me is really exciting, because you can see how they've developed and changed over the course of those 5 years. Like, for example, licensing their IP to holders, stuff like that.
Yep. Great take, man. I think the winner of my last poll was CryptoKitties. And I think maybe Carlini sicked his community on that poll. I'm guessing that's what happened. But they got a strong case, man. You do.
I'm fairly sure CryptoKitties was like a month or two after CryptoPunks, if I remember right. But then it's like, what determines like, when is it an NFT project? When is right. it actually
that's,
a project?
That's you know? The real like, question yeah, there. Because yeah. Punks, they're an ERC20. They're technically not an NFT. So yeah, it's a fun conversation. We could probably have a whole episode about that. We should.
You're going to get, if you want to tweet out Punks on NFTs and you deal with the angry DMs, go for it. I'm no not taking way. That stance. But yeah, nope. So I think that Punks is one of those ones where it's like, I see it as an NFT project. It'd be weird to me to not class it. But if you wanted to go purely NFT by a certain definition, then yeah, it'd be CryptoKitties, right? But like, I don't know. It depends what, when you ask people, it depends what they're holding, if we're being honest. I'm not holding either, so I'm very not biased.
Yeah, that's I think something that we could probably all agree upon is like anything 2021 and earlier or OG. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's like, I would say if it's like January 2021, maybe. There we go. Or maybe like May. Maybe go halfway.
It's before the Beeple sale. Anything before that, yes. That huge $70 million sale is OG. Yeah.
I mean, that's a great landmark for sure. And then it lines up when you see the projects, right? I think one of my first NFT projects was Hash Masks, for example.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that feels like a proper OG project. And it was only like, 2 years ago? Yeah. A year ago sort of thing. But it still feels very OG.
It is an OG project, yeah. That was before BAYC and a lot of them. So. Yeah. Might have been before CyberKongs too as well.
It was. It definitely was. Yeah.
Was it? Wow.
Yeah, they were like, they were very early 21. I think Kongs were like April, May of 21. They were before most of the projects out there right now. Hashmaster special.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, awesome to have you on, Luke. It was a pleasure. And like I said, like you have an open invite. We'll come on again in like a month or two and, you know, keep us updated.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I feel like all I did was just chill everything that I'm interested in. I was like, this is what I want to talk about. But no,
it's why we wanted you, man.
It's great. Definitely happy to come on again. And if anyone watching has any questions about, be it Dapper Sports products, Flow products, anything we talked about, except maybe Hashmask. I don't want to get quizzed on Hashmask. I'm not super up to speed on them. But I am happy to answer them. You can always reach out, find me on Twitter or Discord, DM me, and happy to help with any questions.
Thank you so much.
Likewise.
Awesome. Bye. Thank you, Luke.
CryptoSlam has some of the most comprehensive data in the NFT industry. Contact us today to find out more about our free and enterprise API. Thanks again for tuning in.